really didn't even sleep last night because we were so happy to come back. Thank you for wanting us. You know, when I was a kid, in order to get the kids to play with me, I had to hang a pork chop around my neck. So I don't think there's a pork chop that y'all want me, so I guess it's just me. But thank you so much. We love y'all so much. And you know, it feels good to go to a church where you don't have to introduce yourself, that you already know me. That feels good. It's like that guy years ago. He always got up. Every time he got up on the stage, you know who it is. He'd get up and he'd say every time, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Did I do good on that, Coach? Yeah. Did I do good? And I thought, why does he have to tell everybody who he is? We already know who he is. But y'all, it is so good to be back. Honestly, I thank you, Debbie Sue's back. I'm getting older. I've had a birthday since then. But she hadn't had a birthday. She's still 29. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I can go on Medicare now, can I? Is that what I can? We won't even get into that. But y'all, I am so happy. We're both so happy to be with you on this day. If you notice, because y'all know what today is, I wore my mask. I hope it doesn't frighten you too bad. But I wear this every day, the same mask. But it is October the 31st, and it is what they say, Halloween. And I like candy. I love that candy. So I said, what can I bring for Sunday school for the 31st? So I thought you'd be interested in this. First of all, did you realize on October the 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on that church door in Germany. Did anybody, you remember Martin Luther? Everybody was talking about work salvation, and he said, hey, it's the just shall live by faith. So this day in 1517, he nailed that thesis on the door of that church in Germany. And then there was a revival that broke out in the world. Thank God we're saved by grace. Amen. But there's some other stuff. 2011, the world's population reached 7 billion on this day in 2011. And of course, this is really deep Bible stuff. 1962, on this day, Betty Davis and Joan Crawford's movie hit, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Aren't you glad I told you that? And then on this day in 1817, oh boy, this got me, the Spanish flu kills 21,000 people in the U.S. in 1 week on this day. 1541, Michelangelo finished his painting, The Last Judgment. You remember that painting where he's throwing people down into hell and stuff? He finished it today. In 445 B.C., Ezra read the book of the law to the Israelites in Jerusalem, and that's in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. So he did that on October the 31st. Then in 1941, hey, this is interesting, Mount Rushmore was finished today, 1941. And then in 1926, I love that, Harry Houdini died. Y'all remember him? Tony Curtis did that movie, Houdini. You remember that? He died today. And then last but not least, 1968 on this day, LBJ stop bombing Vietnam. So, isn't that interesting what happened on the 31st of October? So I thought I'd just share that with y'all. I kind of feel like a news reporter a little bit. But I tell you what I want to do, because I do, when I pastored, you know, I pastored Gateway for 26 years and I always capitalized on events. So today being Halloween, in the Sunday morning service and in Sunday school, I want to talk about something I think you'll really be interested in. So can I tell you, go ahead and get your piece of paper and pen, because I'm not going to feed you. Like I told you when I was with y'all before, I don't believe in feeding you in Sunday school. I want to give you some appetizers. So when you get home, say, I want to study this out. So today, you ready for this? It's Bible, total Bible. I want to talk to you about demonology. Demonology. So take your Bibles, would you please, and turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And just the teaching of demonology. Now, this ain't going to be scary. I'm not going to, you know, make the chandeliers float around or anything. This is just Bible teaching in Sunday school. And after I read these verses, I'm going to make some comments I want you to get, first of all. But first of all, Genesis chapter 6. And before we begin, let's pray for Sunday school. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful prayer that Brother Terry prayed for all these needs. Accidents, sickness, people going through so many things, surgeries, ailments, fears, family issues. Lord, it is so good that we're saved, that we can call on you and realize we don't have to handle things on our own, but you take care of things for us because you're God. And we thank you for that. Lord, this is Sunday school. It's a teaching time. I want to be a blessing right now. I got to be a blessing. I didn't come here to give what I think about things. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what your word says. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight right now. Because Lord, we've come from Birmingham, and there needs to be a Sunday school lesson that's Bible-based to make us stronger in the faith coming in here, stronger than when we'll be stronger going out than when we came in. So I need you to help me with Sunday school right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Genesis chapter 6 verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, I'd underline that phrase, saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that is also his flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants, that's a big word, in the earth in those days. And also, after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men that they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which of old men of renown. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Those are some powerful verses. We're going to talk about them in just a minute. But before I talk about that, I want you to get this. There's some things that are so important I want you to get. First of all, this is a subject, talking about demonology, that is not popular these days. You don't hear it as much. It's not the biggest thing that people want to teach or preach about, but it's still the truth. Number two, demons are real. They are very real today, and we need to understand them. I taught on this subject. You know, I pastored the same church for 26 years, and in those 26 years, I only dealt with this subject two times. The reason why I say that the subjects of demons is something you need to know about, hear what I'm saying, but you don't need to dwell on. You need to know about it, but you don't need to dwell on it. When I was 17 years old, I read a book, and some of you would know this name, of Dr. M.R. DeHaan. And Dr. DeHaan wrote a book about demonology, and in the first few pages of his book, he made this clear. He said, read this book and understand demons, but don't stick on this. So many people in churches are in their personal, I'm just into studying about demons, and they're worrying about all these different things. And it's good to be knowledgeable of it. But after we get through today and you learn as much as you can, move on to something good. Think about the goodness of God and the grace of God. Don't be hanging around demon stuff. But I'm telling you with an oath this morning, you need to know about these things. And as I said, in my 26 years of pastoring, I taught my people these things, but only dealt with it twice. Because there's other things we need to know about. Understand that. People, we do need to understand. You say, but why is Brother Keith coming all the way down from Birmingham to talk about this today? Because the demons are destroying our world. Mention just a few minutes, pray for our country. Who's destroying our country? Do we not know who? The devil is. He's the God of this world. We're picking on people and saying, I'm blaming you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to really know who our enemy is. The enemy's the devil. It's destroying our families. It's destroying our churches. It's destroying our kids. It's destroying our world. And we need this morning to identify who our enemy is and realize greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm already excited about my own lesson this morning. Can you tell that? So we need to realize who the enemy is. And your church, New Hope, I love that name, New Hope. Y'all have a new hope. Don't ever give up. The devil wants to take that hope away from you. Say, nope, we got new hope. And the hope is in Jesus. Hallelujah. So never forget that. I'm here to encourage y'all today. I'm here to let you know this is a good church. And I'm excited about being with you today. So let's look at our scripture in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 1. The world's population grew. And the daughters were born to men. They had sons too, but the emphasis is on the daughters. So they had daughters, had children born. And then verse 2, the Son of God, the sons of God, and I'll circle that, those are the fallen angels. When Lucifer rebelled against the Lord, one-third of heaven's angels left with him in rebellion. They saw these girls, they liked what they saw, and they married them. And then in verse 4, they produced a mongrel race, half demon and half human. And this is exactly what occurred. And the Bible says in verse 4, they became strong, they became great, they became smart. Then back to verse 3. God could not stand this, but for 120 years, he allowed this to go on. Let me abbreviate things. Sometimes you and I get upset. Why isn't God dealing with something I'm praying about? He saw all this going on in the world and did not deal with it for 120 years. So please don't get upset with God for not acting as quick on anything as you want it. He saw this mixed race of human and a fallen angel and did not do anything about it for 120 years. And then you know what happened? The flood came. Then you look at verse 5. The wickedness just got greater and greater, stronger and then more evil. Then in verse 6, it got so bad, this evil race, that God said he repented that he even made man. That word repent is just like what you and I do when we get saved. God said, I've created them. I wanted man and woman for me. And the world was so corrupt by this mongrel race and the evil in the world. God said, I wish I'd have never done it. And of course, then you know the rest of the story. He destroyed this mixed mongrel creature race with the flood. Thus, everything had to die. So that's what Genesis chapter 6 tells us. But I want you to make some notes for some things that you'll be interested in. First of all, we want to talk about the origin of demons. The Bible doesn't give us great depth about that. There's a reason why God didn't give us all this deep information, because we didn't need to know it. We just need to know that they exist, but we don't need to know everything God knows about it. We don't need to know all that. But the Bible says, first of all, that Lucifer sinned against God, and he had followers. I tell you what, I'm just going to give you the verses. I was going to read some, but let me just give you this stuff. Lucifer sinned against God, and when he rebelled against God in heaven, he had followers. Write these verses down. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 20. And then Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Heaven had three major angels. You know, there was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. One third with Lucifer says, we just don't like the way things are going here. And they rebelled. And so that's where all these legions of angels were. We're from heaven. Demons are not created by the devil. The devil has no creating power. I'm glad I thought about telling y'all that. The devil can't create anything. He only can take what God created and distort it. The devil has no creative power. He only can ruin what God created marijuana, right? That's right. Now, you wouldn't know. I mean, it's the devil who distorted it. God created it. But the devil distorted it. For example, I'm just giving you a little thing on that. So in other words, they were all cast out of heaven. Then write down Matthew chapter 12, verse 26. Satan is a king of over all these angels. He is their king. These demons look at Satan as their king. Then in Genesis chapter 6, some of these angels came to earth. One third of heaven's angels rebelled. They went everywhere. Some of them came to earth. That's what Genesis chapter 6 is all about. Then in Job chapter 1 verse 6, even some of them says the sons of God, angels, present themselves before the Lord, and even some of these fallen angels are in the realm. They can even hang around on the outskirts. They're everywhere. And that's when they said, when the sons of God present themselves to the Lord. And that was in Job chapter 1, verse 6. And we'll read about that later. But then we see where demons work today. Demons show up. They showed up while Jesus was here. They showed up when Jesus was here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Demons are spirits. Matthew 8, verse 16. Demons are spirits. And then in Mark chapter 1, verse 23, they are unclean. There is no demonic spirit that's a good demon and a bad demon. They're all unclean. They're all bad. I want you to write these verses down. Mark chapter 5, verse 10. Luke chapter 4, verse 34. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Demons have power, intelligence, and personality. The Bible is clear on that. Scripture reveals that they have knowledge, and they also can foretell. If you remember, there was a woman when Paul cast her out in Acts chapter 16. She was a fortune teller. Wow, that's amazing. It's because demons have the ability to look ahead. That's the reason why I want to encourage you, don't ever go to a fortune teller. It's just fun. Just go there and let them do what they... No. They're influenced by demonic power. Don't ever go to a fortune teller. Don't ever mess with that. Don't mess with Ouija boards. Don't mess with any of that stuff because that's all demonic. Here's another thing you need to know. Demons are immoral. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And Luke chapter 8, verse 27. They're immoral. We see all this immoral stuff going on in our world today, and we scratch our head and say, man, how vile our world is getting and how people are just so filthy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a demonic world that's just controlling people. And the Bible makes that very clear. Demons have used dumbness, blindness, insanity, and suicide and controlling people. Now let me make a comment. Not everybody that's deaf and dumb or blind means it's demon possession. There are physical problems. There's some people in religions that say every sickness is of the devil. No, sickness comes because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Y'all believe that? Honestly, for this one time, I want to make sure you understand. There's some folks tonight that if you're sick, that's the devil. No, we're sick because we have a fallen nature. So make sure not everything is the devil doing, but the Bible is clear there has the spirits that the Lord cast out of folks with demon possession, but not all sickness is that, but demons do take part of physical ailments to in order to control people. So I want you to be aware of that as well. Now here's a demonic activity that I want you to be aware of. The first object of the devil's demon's activity is to defeat God's work and God's will. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. If you say, what's the demon's goal? They want to destroy God's work. Can I scare y'all today? The devil wants to destroy y'all's church. The devil wants to destroy you. So they're just not wanting to come up here and make a big thing of Halloween. I think it's so funny that some preachers want to make, October the 31st. Let me tell you something. We need to be worried about the devil on April the 3rd just as well. Hello. Every day. He wants to destroy every day. He picks October the 31st. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, he picks every day. So here we do. We get focused on October the 31st. He says, I'll get him June the 9th. Boy, that's good teaching. Amen. So you and I have been, we need to be totally aware this morning that the demons' job is they want to hurt God's work. They want to hurt you. That's their goal. They're not trying to make horror, scary houses. They're trying to destroy what God has begun in you. Number two, they hurt people. Job chapter 1, verse 12. And Luke chapter 13, verse 16. That ought to break our heart today. Why would we yield ourselves to the devil? Because he doesn't help us. His demons do not help us. They have one goal. Number one, goal number one is to hurt God's work. Goal number two is to hurt God's people. Number three, they have the ability to affect the body and mind of humans. Mark chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. They can affect the body and mind of humans. Mark chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Also, there's another thing I want you to know. Satan has a throne. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. There is a place, I do not know where, that he honestly has a throne. Last week, Debbie Sue and I went and saw the grandkids in Virginia. And we walked around, was it last Monday? Monday a week ago, we was up there and we was right in front of the Capitol. And I've never seen the Capitol before. Man, that's magnificent. First time I've ever seen it. Wow. That's where all, I mean, it's just beautiful. And I thought about some of the things I learned about this. The devil has a capital. I don't know where it is, but he has one. Also, demons, this concerns me. I want you to mark this down. Demons are organized. Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. And Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. In other words, demons are just not running around like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Oh, they just do whatever they want to do. They are very organized. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against principalities, our powers, our rulers of the darkness. There is an organization by which King Satan controls them. That's the reason why I want to encourage your church to be a praying church and be organized. It saddens my heart to think about how many churches have split and been not organized. I've seen churches. I pastored the same church 26 years that monies were spent and people didn't know where they went. And we just thought we'd just go ahead and buy a bus. And we just didn't think we needed to tell anybody. I'm not trying to get into the business of your church. But can I encourage you as a pastor 26 years, there's nothing wrong with being organized. Keep the Holy Spirit in your church. Don't let programs run you. Let the Holy Spirit run you. But there's nothing wrong with being organized. You know, can I give you a reason why? Because the devil's organized. And that's the thing. The devil's got everything ordered, just working perfectly. And we're the scattered brain group. We don't need to be scattered. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit on us and be organized in what we do. Can I get an amen on that? There's nothing wrong. And here again, I've dealt with this all my life. I just tell you, just church being organized, that's just programmed. There's nothing wrong. Look how beautiful your church is. Why am I even dwelling on this? Y'all know how to organize a church. It's okay to be organized. It's okay to have meetings and plan things. Because our enemy is very well organized. Well, that's good. Also, demons, not only that, work on human pride, human ambition, selfishness, greed, pleasure, and sin. Here's a bunch of verses that prove that. John 14, 30. John 18, 36. Ephesians 2, 2. Ephesians 6, 12. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. It's okay to have ambition, but make sure ambition doesn't have you. Be careful about pride. Be careful about being successful. Realize whatever you have, you give Jesus all the glory. Because those say, man, I'm a good athlete. I work out good. I can run 3 miles in 30 seconds. Can anybody? Oh, well, you know. Be careful. Because the devil is the father of pride. Be careful about that. Oh, this is scary. Some fallen angels were so bad when there was a rebellion in heaven. Jude 6, they were chained immediately. I'm trying to get your attention this morning. When that rebellion happened in heaven that I gave you those scriptures, some came to earth, some still hung around up in clouds in heaven. When God, all the angels presented themselves, they just kind of stood back and looked around. There were some of those angels that were so bad that Jude chapter 6 says they were immediately locked up. That's how God dealt. So they're just everywhere dealing with all types of things. Now here's the part I like the best. You ready for this? Here's the demons in. When did their doom begin? You know the answer to this already. Calvary. When Jesus died, shed his blood, they realized something was happening. And then when that stone rolled away, the demons were defeated. That's the good news. Also, Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, they will be sent and they will be punished in hell. They may have their heyday now, but there's a day that every demon that rebelled against God, that day with Lucifer, will be sent to a burning hell. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. They know their end is coming. Wow. Honestly, they know. They know their end is coming. That's the reason why they're doing everything they do right now, what they're doing, because they realize they have an end date. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. They will burn in hell with Satan. Aren't you glad that's going to be their end? Whatever the devil is doing in your family or in your life right now, that's only for a short time. Their doom is coming. But there's some things we need to know. I want you to know about some demonic tools that are ongoing, that are very important. First of all, write down the word divination. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27. Divination is the working together to foretell the future. One of the things, according to Leviticus chapter 20, the demons work together to kind of figure out what's going on in the plan. That makes sense. For example, when a football team is going to play somebody next week, they watch the film and see how they play because they're going to face them next week. That goes back to demons' organization. They get together wanting to see what the future's like, and that's what demons do, the divination, focusing on the future. That's the reason why you and I don't need to get involved in divination, of fortune telling. Today is the day we need to worry about. Remember, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Don't be worrying about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Is that what the scripture says? See, the demons are focused on what's happening tomorrow. What can we do? And people get so consumed with that. That's what divination, that's what that word means. Working together to work on. Necromancy is the other word. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 8. That's contacting dead spirits. Contacting dead spirits. God hates that, by the way. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 6. And Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. You hear it all the time. There's even a group now. Listen to this. And I'm not trying to scare you, but there's even a group now that I've been reading about that is a Christian group that will go to the cemetery and lay on Christian graves and try to suck power out of the grave. Have y'all read about that? I'm talking to people who claim to be Christians are laying on graves of old saints trying to suck the power. That's sick. That's demonic. And so this thing, they people just they're trying to contact dead spirits. It happens. And God hates that. Never get a part of it. If someone says, if anybody ever were to say to you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I love y'all. I hope you can tell that. And I just, if someone said, let's have a seance, say, no, I got to go to Walmart. Don't do that. Don't do that. How many people have got involved in some satanic, demonic influence? Hey, let's just try one of these Ouija boards. We found it at Sam's. Don't do it. Come on now. Don't do it. Don't play with that stuff. Here's another word I want you to get. Pronostication. That word means having idols and even sacrificing animals in order to practice this divination. In other words, let me put it plain. That means we will sacrifice an animal in order for us to get a power so we can see the future. I know all this sounds warped and crazy, but demons, this is the way they operate. Then here's a word everybody knows, magic. Everybody hears about magic. That's astronomy, astrology, hypnosis, fortune telling, healing, mind control, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Don't get involved in those things. Now, I'm not here to get on you. I'm just trying to encourage you. But I remember when I was a kid, everybody used to get up in the morning and see what their sign was for the day. Don't do that. Let God's word be your direction for the day, not some astrology. Hello. Don't. And here's another thing that's so important about And I'm not a doctor. Well, you know, I have one of those for preaching, but not to be able to do surgery on you or anything. But can I encourage you, if ever you get advice, you know, you're going through some stress, you need to be hypnotized. Don't do it. Don't do that. What my doctor said, that's what I need and it's going to help me. Don't do that. What is hypnosis? It's opening you up. It's completely making you vulnerable to a state you don't know what's going on. Don't do that. Never do that, because that's part of what the devil uses. Sorcery, you know that word. That Satan worship in order to gain power and knowledge. Isaiah 47 verses 9 through 13 and Acts chapter 19 verses 18 and 19. Sorcery. So much is emphasized in our kids' cartoons and stuff dealing with sorcery. Be careful of that. Here's the last one, the tools of Satan, witchcraft. In other words, witchcraft is mingling with evil spirits, using portions and things of that sort in order to get your needs and wants. How many times have you seen something that says, you wanna fall in love? Yeah, well, drink this potion and you'll get it. You know, you see all these silly things. So that's what witchcraft is, mixing and doing things in order to get what you want. Seek the Lord to get what you want, not a potion. But there's people outside of this beautiful church today, that's what they do. And honestly, when I went to college in Indiana, I walked into this store. I thought it was an antique, and it was a witch that was running that, and she had a potion for everything. Can I tell you, I got out of there as quick as I can. When they didn't have Bluebell ice cream, I knew it was time for me to go. Hello! But I'm simply saying is that's what witchcraft is mixing things and to make things occur. If the Lord doesn't do it for you, you're all right. Those are some powerful truths. Now let me close this way and then we'll get ready for church. Write down 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I did not say any of these things to you so quickly in order to frighten you. So tonight you're going to need 4 night lights in your bedroom instead of 1. I said this to you this morning so you will be aware there's an evil out there. But you are sons and daughters of God, washed in the blood of Calvary. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want you to know that. Demons or Satan are, this is the good news, are not all knowing. They're not all seeing. They're not all powerful, and they're not everywhere at once. There's only one sovereign that has that power, and that's Jehovah God. So in other words, Satan is not everywhere at once. He's one fallen angel doing his job. He doesn't know everything. Here's another thing. A demon cannot read your mind. They only can give to you the way you respond. So make sure if something is tempting you, just keep a Gomer Pyle smile on your face and the demon will never figure it out. He cannot read you inside. Only God can read you. Boy, this is good stuff. This is good stuff for a church to learn. So they're not everywhere at once. And we say that, boy, the devil was after me today. I've never said that because I don't think I merit the devil's attention. The devil could only be in one place at a time. I don't know where he's at today. Don't want to know where he's at today. But he's not everywhere at once. Only God is. God's in Birmingham. God's here. But the devil can only be in one place at a time, and a demon can only be in one place. And they're not all knowing, because they are just angels who made wrong decisions, and they will pay for those wrong decisions. Here's another thing. When evil is present, when you sense evil, and I think if I didn't mention this, let me say it now. Demons can possess people. Demons can possess animals. Demons can possess places. If you ever sense there's a demonic presence anywhere, claim the name of Jesus. They can't handle that name. Use the name of Jesus. Plead the blood. Devil, demons, I know you're trying to take control of this situation. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over you. You'll not win this battle. And also quote scripture. Have I not done it this morning? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. If God be for us, who can be against us? Quote scripture, they can't stand against the word. Here's a good verse for you, Revelation 12:11. Write that one down. Also, Satan and demons And I want to reemphasize this for the fourth time, I guess. Satan and demons are afraid of the name of Jesus. They're afraid of the blood. They're afraid of the cross. Also, fast and pray. Fast and pray when demons won't leave you alone. Understand this. Just when you say, now, demon, I'm just tired of you being in the bedroom now. I'm tired of you being in the kitchen. You get out of here. They don't give up like Christians do. You know how we give up so quick, Brother Terry? Demons don't give up. So, Brother Keith, if they don't give up and they're still fighting my children, they're still fighting our family, what do I do? All right, I'm glad you asked that question. Mark chapter 9, verse 29, pray and fasting. This kind comes by praying and fasting. If it comes that the demon powers are not leaving your situation alone, you may need to go to the other level. Just pray and pray and fast and pray till that demonic influence is gone. Now, I love, this is one of my favorite points that I've taught all my life. And it's the number one question asked. Demons cannot possess Christians. They can only oppress Christians. So if you've been saved today, you don't have to look under your shirt and say, is anybody in there? I tell you, if you've been saved, I will tell you who's in there. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, lost people, they're high game. But when the Holy Spirit's in you as a child of God, the unholy spirit can't come in. You are sealed to the day of redemption. So don't ever be afraid. Now, he can oppress you. He can be all around you and put thoughts in your mind and all kinds of things. That's the reason I give you all these other verses to be, because, but he can never get in you. He can get around you and oppress you, but not possess you. That's a great thought. Then, here's another thing. I want you to get this. We may lose some battles. We do. I can stand here now for the next hour and tell you that in my Christian walk, how many battles I've lost. But we will never lose the war. There may be things today that you could cry about, saying, God, why did this happen? I really thought we had the victory and it didn't go that way. There's some battles that we'll lose now and then. But because of Jesus' resurrection and his shed blood, the war has already been won. So I taught you this on Halloween Day because I thought it was important. But there's another thing I want to say. And I'll close with this. I was 16 years old. I didn't even have my driver's license yet. And we met on Thursday night at our church for visitation. And two men came for visitation being good-hearted, but they didn't know how to talk. They were probably in their 30s. I was 16, and so I ended up being, because I was the youngest one out on visitation, 16, there would be three. Normally when you go visitation, it's two by two. You know how you do that, two by two. But because it was an odd number, there was three of us. So the two men who weren't used to talking, I don't talk. When I go to the door, I don't know what to say. You know what I'm talking about on visitation. I don't know what to say. Well, let Keith, he's a preacher, let him go. I can still remember that night. We went, and they were by me, and I had tracks, and I had a sports coat on and a tie, and knocked on the door, and a teenage girl, I can still see her face, long brunette hair, and when she opened the door, there were candles burning. Trees were hanging over that door, and these two guys were standing behind me, and I just said, hey, I'm Keith, and I introduced them, and I said, we're just out visiting from a church, and just wanted to talk to you about visiting with us, and let me ask you a question. Do you know if you'd die today, do you know you go to heaven? I don't want to know about it. She started shaking. And all the house was dark except for those candles lighting. And so I could tell immediately, and I had enough sense at 16, don't press this issue. Timing's not good. And then also, here's a young girl, and there's three men standing at the door. You hear where I'm coming from? So even at 16, I had enough sense, don't dwell here. I'm not making this up. I reached in my coat pocket like this, and I pulled out a track, and so strange, on that track was just a cross. I'm not making this up, just a cross. There was no words, it was just a cross, and I handed it to her, and as soon as I did that, she went into convulsions, just shaking, and said, I don't want that, and her voice totally changed, and it went into a deep voice. The two guys behind me, they just disappeared, and I just said, ma'am, and I laid the track down on her doorstep, facing cross up, because, and I just backed out. And when we got back to the car, I looked at those fellas. I says, guys, do you realize we face somebody who doesn't know anything about God, but more than they need to know about the devil? Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't come here to be dramatic. I'm telling you, our battles are with the devil. He is our enemy. He'd love to have you guys get at and hate each other. Yeah, got it. That's exactly what I wanted you. I want you to hate him. I want him to hate you. Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is the devil. And our Savior is our coming King. And that's why I felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with this on October 31st. Father, thank you for the truth. There's so much I wanted to read, but I went through this because, Lord, we need to know this and help us be aware of who our enemy is. But, Lord, I plead the cross in the name of Jesus and the blood over this church and this congregation and over the seeking of a pastor and everything that goes on in this ministry and in these families that are involved here. We claim victory in Jesus, our Savior forever, who sought us and bought us with His redeeming love. So, Lord, thank you for Sunday school today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.